We're turning in our Bible tonight to John's Gospel and chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're reading together from verse 18. John 13 and verse 18. Jesus says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And now I tell you, before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, that ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter there beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' bosom, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Jesus entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which ye have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Amen. Ending our reading there. Praying the Lord will bless the reading and the preaching of his holy and precious word. And with our Bibles open before God, shall we bow for a word in prayer. Father in heaven, tonight we do thank you that we can say, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Our Father, tonight we do thank you, Lord, for thy grace, for thy saving grace. We rejoice in it tonight. And Lord, for thy sufficient grace. For Lord, in our Christian life, we need more of the grace of God. Lord, we come to thee now and we do pray that you'll be with us and bless us this night as we seek to preach the gospel of redeeming love. Lord, we do remember those who are bereaved tonight, and we do think of the Ferguson family, and we do remember them and we do pray for them, that thou will draw near to them and uphold them at this time. Lord, bless us now as we turn to thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our text tonight is found in verse 30 of the passage we read together. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. In this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ has gathered his disciples around him to eat the Passover for the last time with him. It's the night before he goes to the cross, so it is. And the Bible says the Passover is ended, and the Lord begins to tell them certain things that annoy them and worry them. And one of the things he tells them is that one of them, sitting around that table, would betray him. In verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And this came like a bolt out of the blue. The disciples were not expecting to hear that. And they began to wonder and look at each other who it might have been. And Simon Peter, there's one disciple lying on Jesus' breast, and that's the Apostle John. And Simon Peter beckons to him that he should ask him who it is that will do this. And Jesus said, it is he to whom I give the sop when I have dipped it. And when he dips the sop, he gives it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. When Judas receives the sop, the Bible says he gets up from the table, he goes down the stairs and through the door and out into the night. Where is he going? He's going to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And that's very solemn. But more than that, here's a man on his way to hell. He's been in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. They've had the Passover together, had a nice time. But now he's left the company. He's gone out into the night, and he's on his way to hell. But I'll tell you something even more solemn. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't lift a finger to stop him. You see, my friend, there is a time, I know not when, a place I know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory nor despair. You can seal your destiny tonight. You can seal it for heaven by coming and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Savior and friend. You can leave this meeting tonight knowing your sins are forgiven and knowing that you have a home in heaven and it's well with your soul. Or else you may seal it for hell by getting up of your seat, going out through that door and rejecting God's offer of mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we want to look at Judas Iscariot, the man who left the meeting and went to hell. There's four things about him we want you to look at. First of all, we have Judas's privileges. Judas had many, many privileges, so we had. He was one of the 12 disciples. When the Lord Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry, he chose 12 men out of all of Israel, even out of the whole world, you could say, to be his disciples, so he was. And he was with the Lord for over 3 years. He saw his miracles. He was there when he fed the multitudes, when the lepers were cleansed, when he cast out demons. He was there when he stilled the storms and things like that. Judas was there. He saw it all. And then he heard his gracious words, the Sermon on the Mount, the parables, the great discourses with the Pharisees, and the great teaching and things that he taught the disciples. He heard all of that, so he did. And he was even sent out to preach by the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas had many privileges, but privilege alone won't save it. And that's what was wrong with Judas. He had a lot of head knowledge. He had no heart knowledge. He had never been saved. He was never born again. Beloved, tonight you're here, and God has given you many, many privileges in your life. You live in a country where you can still hear the gospel. So you can. Many of our towns, even the cities, and even villages, have places where you can go and hear the gospel of redeeming love. And you were born maybe into a Christian home. Your parents were both saved. They prayed for you. They witnessed to you. They told you about the love of Jesus. Maybe your grandparents on both sides of the family were saved. Aunts and uncles. And you were all the object of their love and of their prayers. So you were. And then you have Christian friends maybe who witnessed to you and take you to gospel meetings and pray for you. But you have many privileges, but privilege alone won't save. And oh friend, tonight, you're here in this meeting again, and you need Christ. You need to be born again of God's Holy Spirit. So you do. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." Oh friend, tonight, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have Judas's personality. What kind of a man was Judas? Well, he wasn't the wee man that we seem to think he was. Sometimes we think of a shifty looking wee boy you couldn't trust. But that doesn't come across here. So no one suspected Judas when the Lord said, "One of you shall betray me." Nobody pointed the finger at him and said, "It's him. I never did like him. I never did trust him." No, no. They all mistrusted themselves. No one mistrusted Judas. They said, "Lord, is it I? Am I the guilty one?" No one pointed the finger at Judas. And even after the Lord had exposed him, they still did not believe it was Judas. We read there in verse 27, "After the supper, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto them, That thou doest too quickly. And no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which ye have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor." No one suspected him. And it says, Judas has the bag. And that meant he was a treasure. Now, you don't make somebody a treasure you don't trust. So you do. Oh, Judas had everyone fooled, but he didn't fool the Lord. Turn back in your Bible to John chapter 6 and verses 70 and 71. And you read these words. Verse 70. "Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Oh yes, friend, we can fool men. We can fool the family. We can fool the preacher. But you'll not fool the Lord. The Bible says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks in the heart." So we know. You'll not get into heaven without getting saved, without being born again of God's Holy Spirit. And then next of all, we have Judas's price. Turn back in your Bible to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And we see there Judas sought out the chief priests. They didn't come looking him. He went to them. Now they were hoping for an opportunity where they could get Christ alone and arrest him and put him on trial. But they didn't think that one of his disciples would come to them and offer to betray Christ and bring him to them. And they agreed to give him 30 pieces of silver. Someone says that was the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver was the price that Judas put on Christ. You see, Judas loved money more than Christ. Let me ask you tonight, friend, what do you love more than the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it pleasure? Maybe you like the pleasure of the world and the pleasure of sin, and you don't like to give it up. You feel you couldn't live without it. Or maybe it's popularity. You're very popular, you have a big bunch of friends and all, and you don't like to give them up because you know if you get saved, you'd have to leave them. And maybe it's some partner, someone very special in your life, and you feel if you got saved, they might leave you and go their way. Beloved, Judas received 30 pieces of silver, but Judas lost his soul, and that was the real price. Jesus said, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a little verse and it says, You may barter your hope of eternity grand for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? Oh, tonight, friend, count the cost. Is it worth going to hell for a bit of worldly pleasure or worldly sin? Is it worth going to hell for popular ungodly friends who will take you there, but they'll not get you out of it? Or someone special? Is it worth going to hell? If they loved you, well, they would see that you're saved and maybe even join you. Friend, it's not worth it. Hell, with going to hell, friend, count the cost tonight. Where you will be in eternity and what kind of eternity it will be. And then we have Judas's punishment in chapter 27 of Matthew, the first 5 verses. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And we see there the time of his punishment. It was in the morning. Sin always looks different in the morning. It seemed like a good idea the night before for Judas to leave the company, to leave the meeting, to go to the chief priests and betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. It seemed like a great thing. But now in the cold light of day, when he sees that these men are out to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, sin looks different in the morning. I remember before I was saved, I was a heavy drinker. And many a morning I woke up, and when I remembered things I'd said and things I'd done, I didn't hardly want to get out of bed. I didn't want to go to work. I remember one morning opening my eyes and I had a sore shoulder. And I started to wonder how I got that. And I remember there was a fight. And there was a big policeman who came down and grabbed me and put my arm in an arm lock and marched me down to the police station and charged me with assault. You talk about a boy sobering up that morning. Friends, sin looks different in the morning, so it does. And what will it be like in the morning of eternity when the books are open and you're judged out of those things written in the books, and then the book of life's open, and if your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever. Sin will look very different that morning. And we see the manner of his punishment there in verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He never enjoyed his money. He threw it down. And then he went and hanged himself. He didn't think the night before that he'd be at the end of a rope the next morning, the next day. Let me ask you, friend, where will you be in the morning? Tomorrow's eternity hidden from view. And if you died tonight, you would be in a lost eternity. You would be without Christ forever. Friend, sin looks different in the morning. And then we see the extent of his punishment. Back there again, in chapter 26, in verse 24, it says, the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Tonight he's in a lost sinner's hell. He's without Christ. He's in the blackness and darkness of a lost sinner's hell forever. That's solemn. He had a lifetime of privileges. He had a great meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he still ended up in hell. Friend, tonight you have many privileges. You hear the gospel. Someone says, well, there's people in this world who have never heard the gospel once. What right of you to hear it twice? And you've heard it many, many times. And you've been warned and pleaded with. But if you die in your sin, you go to hell with the gospel message ringing in your ears. Friend, you come to Christ tonight. The Christian life, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret getting saved. I got saved in 1973. I never regret it. And you'll not regret it either. You'll not, Christian life is the best life. So it is. You'll never regret it in life. You'll never regret it in death. And you'll never regret it in eternity when you go to be with Christ. But friend, if you don't get saved, well, you mightn't regret it in life. It mightn't make much difference. but you will regret it in death, and you will regret it for all eternity. You come to Christ tonight. Put your faith in him. The Bible says, the Queen of Sheba said, the half was never told me. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend. May God bless you, and may the Lord save you by his grace.